We are recording. We're live. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee to order. We have present all the members of the committee, Doug Hayden, Katie Capelini, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey. We also have President Westfall with us and Mike Brown, Mayor Stow, Jim Bone, Kevin Aller, and Bill Sanford, and Representative of the State. So, the purpose of our meeting tonight is to discuss the requirements in our zoning code relating to the storage of recreational vehicles. This was brought to our attention by a letter or memo or email, I'm not sure, I guess it was a memorandum to Kevin from Dave McClure requesting a change in our zoning code, which currently allows a travel trailer or one pleasure boat parked to the rear of a point which is 5 feet to the rear of the front of any dwelling on the same lot or an adjacent lot. Idea being that you can park boats on side lots so long as it's at least 5 feet back from the front of the building. Katie, you want to share with the committee your thoughts about the old code?
I have a copy of the old code, and I was just pointing out to Doug a paragraph in our old code that we seem to have lost from the old code to the new code. And that is recreational equipment provided that only one travel trailer not exceeding 19 feet in length or one pleasure boat not exceeding 19 feet in length, I guess they doubled that, may be stored only in the rear yard, and no living quarters shall be maintained, and no business or other activity shall be carried out in such trailer or boat, and that such trailer shall not be closer than 10 feet to any lot line, nor shall such trailer or boat exceed 19 feet in length. I think that the crucial parts there are not exceeding 19 feet in length and not closer to 10 feet of the lot line and only being stored in the backyard. I don't know if anybody had a chance to drive by the boat. If you haven't, I have a picture on my phone. It's quite a large boat, almost as long as the house. And under our current code, that's allowed to be there.
Yeah, you know, Katie, I remember quite a bit of discussion in our meetings of the zoning committee at the time that this came up. And I think I'm not advocating one side or another, but I think the discussion was around the fact that, in particular, travel trailers are significantly bigger than 19 feet now, and that 19 feet was sort of reflecting a 1960s or 70s reality of what that particular product was, and now it's pretty much excludes any kind of modern travel trailers. Now, that doesn't speak to the boat business. We didn't talk about the boat business, but I think that there was some clear rationale for taking it out last time.
I think we should put it back. I can't imagine looking out my kitchen window from the other house onto that boat. I don't think anything longer than a canoe or a kayak should be parked on somebody's side yard so that your neighbor has to look out at it.
Well, you know, that's fine in this particular case. And again, Doug, I don't know, is this appropriate to have this kind of discussion?
Yeah, I think it is, because that's really, my recollection was that when we talked about this, our current zoning inspector thought that the existing code was not very well adhered to, that we had a lot of boats and trailers that were stored in violation of the existing code, and that it was outdated.
Yes.
But by the same token, I understand exactly what Katie's talking about. I mean, this particular, I mean, it's a big boat.
Okay. Is there other criteria that besides size that would fit some sort of enforcement here?
I think the part about not being closer than 10 feet to any lot line makes a lot of sense.
Is this individual in violation of that?
Yes.
You sure?
I mean, I didn't go out and measure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think this, correct me, I think it's right on the lot line.
Yeah, I think it would be in violation.
There are some limitations already in the code. Okay, there's about recreational vehicles in particular. I mean, you can't have them hooked up. You can't be living in them. You can't, they have to be owned by someone who lives in the house. You can't be storing it for somebody else. And there are a number of other requirements in the code. And I think we can change the rule, but my recollection was that our zoning inspector thought there was a lot of this going on in certain parts of town.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, do you have any sense of that?
I think from talking to him, I think the concern was that he started to address the issue of boats, RVs, that were in violation. And there was a concern brought to council at that point that it didn't match the new sizes of boats.
Right.
And so I don't know that there was a recommendation that we allow him at the side yards, but I know that once he started to address the violations that were occurring, that the ultimate result was being able to store them at the side yard. The size limitation removed and things of that nature. So,
I mean, I was doing some very heavy thinking while I was drinking coffee about this. And some of the things you could think about doing would be having size limitations on recreational vehicles stored on side lots, treating those differently than on rear lots. Or we could just, limit the size generally. I'm not really sure. And I've seen this boat, and I understand why this neighbor. I mean, this would be, if somebody parked that boat next to my house, we'd probably have a discussion about it. At least I'd start that way. And in my development, I have there are restrictions in our homeowners association rules that would prevent that, which is more common in our newer areas. The newer, more recently plotted properties. It's the use restrictions and deed restrictions that are now come with almost every plat were not common 40 years ago. So, or 50 years ago. So, I got to admit, I don't feel real strongly about this one way or another. I'd be really interested in what you all think.
Yeah, well, let me just finish my thought. I've told the story before. I think in my first term on council, I had a call from a couple that lived over on Erie Street, and they had they were elderly, I think in their 80s maybe, and they had for 40 years, 50 years, a travel trailer that they used to take their kids on vacation. And so it wasn't just a travel trailer. There was a lot of emotional attachment to this. And it was maybe a little bit bigger than 19 feet. And our zoning inspector at the time was asked by council to go and be a little bit more aggressive about potential violations. And, these people were beside themselves. They didn't have any ability to put it anyplace else. And they still apparently used it a bit. And I don't know it's for us to say that a particular, just at least sitting here tonight, that a particular size is inappropriate, that's a limitation. I get the lot line piece, all right? I think that would be intrusive into a neighbor. But I would, at the very least, like us to understand what a reasonable size travel trailer or a reasonable size boat is these days, right? I mean, how big is big, Mike? How big is, you know, what's a normal size? They're big. I know that they're big. Yeah, but I think we should have a little bit of information. I don't know, Katie, that you're necessarily suggesting that we just make up a number. I don't think you are. I don't think the old number is appropriate anymore, but I think we should educate ourselves by having a dealer or an owner help us understand what an appropriate size is. I just think that there are probably some other factors that we could use to make a judgment better than size.
I think that part of your formula has got to be how far off the property line it is. This one's objectionable because it's right on the property line.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I agree that that is objectionable.
The problem with that is, you know, a lot of our older developments are not very big. So, you know, if you put in that limit, you're essentially, you might as well just prohibit them. And actually, that's where these boats are mostly, and recreational vehicles are stored. I mean, that's my And again, you know, I'm recalling some discussions I had with Bob about this. I'm sorry, our zoning administrator, in the when we did this the first time around. I mean, it wasn't that we took these out without thinking about it. I mean, we did think about it. And we did have this setback from the front of the house that we, which I think was kind of a compromise. I think we also looked at some other, I think we had the guys from Pogemeyer show us some other limitations in some other communities. You know, and you can't, I mean, without breaking down, I mean, you could address this, another way you could address this is to add additional types of R1 zoning categories and regulate them differently. But we will be accused of doing that on socioeconomic basis as opposed to really trying to address boat issues. And that might be real. Sandy, I know you're biting your tongue over there, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just thinking because there was a boat parked in a driveway across the street from our house, people we know, and he said he was taking it down to Florida, that's why it's parked there. It was a big boat, but I was thinking he was illegally parked because I didn't have to go. I recall that we said in the rear yard. Well, this gentleman doesn't really have a rear yard because it's goes downhill, and I mean, he doesn't really have a place where he could park it in his rear yard. And where he put it was on the the driveway in the side yard. His driveway is on the side of his house. And it, according to this, having it 5 feet back, I'm sure it was probably 5 feet back. But I didn't like it there, but I knew at some point within a couple months he was going to take it down to Florida. And you know, so I kind of just bit my tongue on that. But if he was going to store that there all the time, and how about then the guy next door, you know, he can put his boat there, and, you know, and then the guy, you know, further down can do that, and... I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. But I know I found it offensive looking at it.
Yeah.
Do you remember the conversations we had about just the dishes or satellite dishes and how offensive it would be if there was a satellite dish that you could see when you drove by? Mm-hmm. To me, this is...
And yet we allow that.
Yeah, this is so much more offensive than a little satellite dish. I mean, when you buy a big piece of equipment, whether it be a trailer or a boat, I mean, there's responsibilities that come with it. And your neighbors shouldn't have to deal with your responsibilities. I mean, shouldn't have to pick up what you can't deal with. I mean, if you don't have somewhere to put it, you can't afford to put it somewhere, then don't buy it. I mean, I could go buy a huge trailer and put it in my backyard and my, I mean, but I don't because I don't have room. I mean, if you don't have room, don't buy it. Not find somewhere to put it.
Yeah, I appreciate that sentiment. My only concern is getting overly restrictive, right? We have to balance an individual's right to have a hobby or a piece of recreation that they can afford and that they enjoy with the neighbor's aesthetic sense, aesthetic view. So I'm not disagreeing with some sort of regulation, some sort of lot setback.
Well, we do have some regulation.
Okay, well, what is the current regulation?
It's got to be 5 feet back from the front of the structure.
But it doesn't speak to the property line.
Speak to the property line. It doesn't speak to the size of the trailer anymore. Those would be additional limitations we can put on.
Seems to me that the property line piece, if we were a little bit more specific about that, would kind of de facto limit the size, yes?
Well, the property line issue will have, intended or unintended, will have a greater impact on our lower value properties in our community. I guess another thing to throw out there is, how offensive is this? I mean, is it more offensive than, next week when I put out my John Kasich for governor sign in my front yard for the next 2 years? I mean, it has to be operational, it has to be licensed, so it has to be in decent shape. And we have all those, we do have those requirements existing in the code now. I guess the real, do we want to, I don't think we want to say you can't store them at all. Would you want to put, the middle ground that I was kind of thinking about was a size limitation on a side lot and otherwise one recreational vehicle in the back, in the backyard. I mean, those are both terms defined under our code. Side lot is one definition. Yard side and yard rear are both defined. I mean, we could address it that way. Could use something like what we have now for what you could store in the rear. Use something, reinstitute the smaller size for the side lot. I'm a little concerned about the, I am concerned about the side yards. And I'm thinking specifically about the, setback issues. In some of our neighborhoods, that would effectively preclude any use of the side lot at all. Maybe that'd be okay. I don't know. And we could refer this to the Planning Commission and ask them for their input on it too. Just ask them for their input.
I keep thinking of this boat across the street. His driveway is right at the lot line, so he was parked his boat, but he doesn't have a backyard, so he can't put it in the backyard.
Was he legal?
Well, I didn't like it. I didn't want to put it there.
Did he comply?
No, not if he's not supposed to be. If he's supposed to be, he was 5 feet back, but he was on the.
Well, that's,
he was on the lot line.
Then he's legal. He was legal.
Because.
Yeah, under our current code.
But I still didn't like looking at it. Knew it was temporary. I knew at some point he didn't plan to keep it there all the time. So I can see Katie's point. I would rather have it be in the backyard But this gentleman doesn't have that option in his yard, and a lot of people wouldn't, so...
He doesn't have a rear yard at all?
Well, he does, but it's a, like a ravine, thank you. Yeah. So he, I mean, he couldn't, he doesn't have a place he could park it in his backyard. That's...
Kevin, what do you and the, I don't know, have you and the zoning inspector discussed this at all? What are your thoughts?
We discussed it. I mean, we're, it's a tough situation because you're affecting one group or another. You're affecting the neighbors or you're affecting the owner. And it's, you're either, if you preclude it at all, you're essentially telling that loan owner that he's got to find something, he's got to find a storage place and pin that at cost. If you allow it, and you're telling the neighbor that, you know, we're sorry about the view, but that's what it's going to be. I think that there does, you know, I think that something has to come into play as to what you're going to, how close you're going to allow that to be stored to an adjacent structure, to an adjacent lot line. Now, in reality, whether it's the lower or the smaller, older neighborhoods, or even the newer ones, if you put a 10-foot limitation, that's really, in reality, that's going to preclude anything.
That's going to preclude it. Yeah, it would preclude it in my neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, because most side yard time, the houses just don't have that much side yard. So, you know, the rear yard, that's, and that's in the old code, that was permitted in the rear yard. That neighbor to the rear of that owner now has to put in. So, you know, in that being the case, someone still has that view that they're going to see. So, it's a tough situation. It's a tough call. It's really what do you want the neighborhoods to, what's the appearance of the neighborhood that you want to try to achieve? And that's what would have to be in the code would have to reflect that. Please.
The original letter from the gentleman that was concerned about the bill, his concern was property values. You know, and you see that it's going to bring property values down.
Doug, just a hypothetical question for Mr. Mullen. Is there any practice in municipal zoning code to require an inspection of a particular storage plan for you know a vehicle or a boat over a particular size? You know, we license and we inspect the plans of additions on homes, or I think in my subdivision, if you want to build a potting shed or something, you have to get an approval. Is there any reason to think that we want to take on the discretion based on some criteria of how a boat is being stored? It would seem that in some of these cases, a large boat or a large RV might benefit from having some screening, for example, as Mr. Aller said, some shrubbery or something to help screen it from the neighbors. Now, that's a slippery slope, right, because somebody's got to do that. And yet we do have the precedent for doing it in other kinds of situations. So I don't know if that's helpful or harmful. We're not such a big city.
We could make it a special use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And ask for permit, get a permit?
Effectively.
Yeah, well, over a certain size. I mean, I think folks should be able to store their RV or their boat if it's a size that we can reasonably believe is appropriate.
I don't think they manufacture an RV today that is smaller than the boat that we're talking about here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the boat?
They didn't. I saw the picture. I know you got to be there, but I didn't go there.
I'm back to my closeness to the property line. I know that that can be an issue in older neighborhoods, but that's also a safety issue. You're not allowed to build a garage or an outbuilding right on the property line because it may affect the safety of the neighbors. Particularly an RV or a boat could be flammable. They could have gasoline in them or something.
And I think that, although I wouldn't like looking out my window and seeing it, I'd be nervous if it was close to my house. And I've heard about boats catching fire or RVs catching fire. I think maybe there's a safety component here for that must be kept so far from a property line or perhaps from a residence, one or the other. But I think that is a grounds that you can honestly look at it that's not aesthetic. It could be a fire hazard. Maybe you want to get an opinion from the fire chief or the fire marshal on it. See what he thinks about that.
Our current single-family large lot district requires 7 feet of side yards.
Does that include storage sheds or anything in the back, Doug? Sometimes those can be closer.
With regard to accessory buildings, I don't...
To any lot line in 10 feet.
There you go. So a house can be closer to a lot line than an accessory building? Is that right? That's right.
No.
No, swimming pools. Yeah, those are swimming pools. I don't think there are lot line requirements.
An accessory building can't be any closer. There are some other limitations, but it can't be any closer than 3 feet to any line.
Is that it?
3 feet.
3 feet?
Yes.
Well, Doug, how can we get some movement on this? I mean, is our consultant from Pogemeyer helpful at all in helping us once again compare and contrast what other communities do? Has the discussion been sufficient to have Mr. Moen go back? And I mean, I think you heard us talking about the property line piece being a pretty valid one. I think you've heard some mixed thoughts about size.
We do regulate the question of what degree do we cross over the point where we're unduly restrictive. The mayor brings up a good point about safety. One of the things that Mr. Allen and I had discussed about this, about tonight, was the property line setback, side yard setback. One of the thoughts we at least were talking about is that when you have no setback, there's no opportunity to clean, cut, or maintain around that structure.
Those requirements, are there other requirements?
It's not addressed. The fact of the matter is that, you know, some of these things have left a long time. You can have grass growing around it, and there's no ability to maintain around it. So one would think a reasonable requirement is that there be a setback from the side to allow for maintenance of the, you know, of the property around it. Otherwise, you couldn't get to it. I mean, we've not really come up with a definitive answer, but I think that really the side, you know, zero setback is problematic, but what's appropriate, I don't have an answer.
I wonder how many, if we put a 10-foot setback like we had before, wonder what percentage of properties in the city of Sylvania would effectively forestall any side lot storage.
But
my guess is more than the majority.
The real question would, what about 3 feet? You know, that's consistent with our accessory building. It allows the opportunity to be around it and maintain. I don't know the width of the lot.
It would take care of my side yard.
So, I mean, those are things that we don't have an answer for, but I don't know if I hear a handoff coming.
I think you get it. You've heard what we talked about. I think you understand where the emphasis is, because we just asked the law director to come back with some recommendations or some recommended language.
Sure.
I mean, I'd rather send that something off to the commission than to just send the problem off.
I would think that we could have come back with something as far as the side yard setback, the size of the vehicles or otherwise we can talk about.
Think about screening.
Yeah. Then we can see what others might have about that.
When you come up with proposals, I would be interested in knowing how many of our residents, you know, roughly.
That'll be the public hearing on that.
I'm thinking that, we only have a 7-foot side lot requirement. You put a 3-foot side, you put 3 feet on that, and, you know, I'm thinking on either side of my house. It'd be pretty tight. You're right up against the house on the one side. Other side, I don't have to worry about it because there's a big tree right there between that and the neighbor's fence, so I can't go back. But I'm thinking of my neighborhood, and that's pretty tight. Any limitation with the fixed wood effectively precluded most of Lincoln Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think what we've decided we're going to do is ask the administration for some additional reflection, consultation between Kevin and Jim and our zoning administrator, and get back to us with some further thinking. We'll noodle about this and come back and address it again. Maybe in a month. That sound good?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
People take things out in the spring, so.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we met. We're going to talk about our sign code amendment. Does anybody want to talk about that before? And we can certainly talk about that in this meeting if anybody has any questions.
We have 10 minutes.
I'm sorry?
Can we do it? We have 10 minutes.
I don't know if people have questions about that, we can address those now.
Could you help us help me understand, does this do anything other than eliminate the time requirement?
Jim, I don't think it does.
It adds
some condition requirements. One of the things I noticed is that we have condition requirements elsewhere in the code.
Correct. That was a little footnote. The question is whether you want it to be expansive. To answer the question, it's the time limitations that the proposal is to remove the issues concerning additional requirements for maintenance of the sign. There's been some additional ones added to what we already have. So that's perhaps a topic of discussion. Other than that, those are the changes that we've put in here. Those are basically the ones that we had talked about at a couple of council meetings ago. So,
as far as I can tell, they are the same changes that I proposed back in November.
Does this reasonably, should we reasonably expect that the complaint against the city would be addressed if that's not why we're doing it, right? But would that have the impact of addressing those concerns?
It's certainly one of those issues that it removes on a prospective basis this being an issue, that being certainly one of the matters that has been brought to our attention. I think the focus for this legislation was along the lines of...
Well, the world has changed.
Yes.
It was originally written as a reflection of that reality that campaigns are 365 days.
Yeah, 20 years ago, we didn't have 24-hour, 7 news on 5 channels,
Right. No, I understand. Okay,
this is
my
question. Yeah, Sandy?
I'm just wondering who's going to police this, because we're talking about putting signs up in yards. The whole reason we had a sign code is to keep our city clean and orderly, and then we're kind of just backtracking from that and allowing temporary signs up constantly, which I don't think that means it's temporary. And then we're going to pay somebody, one of our employees, to go out and police these. I don't know, it just seems like a huge step backwards from where we were. I understand the world is changing, and I do understand that part. But the system, as I understood it, is that if someone wanted to put a sign up all year round, they just need to go in and get a permit to do so. So it's not really a freedom of speech issue. It's following what the code said. So if someone wanted to put up a sign for Kasich or whoever else,
then they can do that. They just need to go to the zoning office and get a permit to do so. So I don't know why we need to change the whole code to address that.
Well, we could do away with temporary signs entirely. Make every sign require a permit. Right?
Election signs.
Sure. I mean, let's be, I mean, honestly, this whole, I mean, it's content neutral, but it was written to address political signs. That's what we wrote it for.
So do we charge for a permit?
Yep.
We do.
So at what point does that become a kind of reasonable prohibition against free speech? My 87-year-old mother-in-law wants to put a sign on for her house. She's on a fixed income. She has to now drive to the city to get a permit. She has to spend some money out of her pension check. That's a prohibition of free speech, right?
That would be one position. The city has the right to require permits for certain types of activity. The question is where do they cross?
And are they constitutional guaranteed? Mm-hmm.
Free speech is permissible, unfettered may not be. It's a question of degree. It's a question that, frankly, or fortunately, that question is not part of this proposed legislative change. So, point well taken, point well taken, all the way around. Question is when we get to council, we want to make a referral or what we want to do, and that's ultimately what's going to come up at tonight's council meeting.
Make a referral.
Referral to the Plan Commission. It does not have to be resolved tonight, other than...
We can't resolve.
No. The charge was for us to come up with proposed legislation to bring back to council. Since we had a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting, it was brought for tonight's at least discussion. I suspect it will be added as part of the report for council's meeting tonight.
Yeah, the process is, as we have learned, a proposed change in the zoning code, which includes the sign code, has to be referred to the Planning Commission for their review and comment and recommendation.
So we have to agree on what we send them, right?
We do, but whatever we send them, once we send it to them, you know, we're free to do whatever we want when we get it back. I think I've said my piece on this.
Okay.
So will that as a committee will make a recommendation to council about this?
I wasn't, I mean...
If that's not your intent.
That wasn't my intent. It was just to discuss it. I mean, brought it up. I think the committee, this committee referred it to the administration to bring a proposal back to council. That's what I think.
That's correct.
We did. So right. And now we have it. So I think it's proper before council. And let the record reflect, Todd Milner has been here for most of the meeting, and I didn't note his attendance. Todd, thanks for being here. All right. Unless we have any other matters to address, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee stands adjourned at...